Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 37, Episode 3 of Der Daily Zeitgeist! For June 26th, 2018, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Paxel Rose. Take me down to the paradise city where the grass is green. I've got anxiety. Okay. And I am thrilled to be joined by today's co-host, one of the funniest stand-ups, and just a Hall of Fame podcast guest, the all-time leader in guesting on the Daily Zeitgeist. Please welcome Jamie Loftus!
A.K.A. Yammy Lofty, a.k.a. Lil Zam.
Lil Zam.
Lil Zam.
Lil Zam. How's it going, Lil Zam?
I'm good. I'm here. I got my little Zam. It's good. It's whenever my little Zam is burning, it means it's time to be a guest on a podcast.
Lil Zam refers to the small Zamboni tattoo that you got on your back?
Yep. It could be smaller, is my critique of the Lil Zam. It could definitely be smaller. A little bit big.
You're going to want to get that a little bigger. That's what the tattoo guy said to you, right? You're going to want to go a little bigger with that. And
full back piece, please.
May I recommend flames and an eagle driving it?
It does have flames.
I know. It looks awesome, actually. It is a beautiful Zamboni. We are thrilled to have in our third seat today one of the funniest human beings I've ever known, a hilarious writer and performer, one of my favorite script writers from my time at Cracked, and he currently writes for American Dad. He is Mr. Soren Bowie!
Hey,
man.
Hey, how's it going? That was really nice. Usually you throw me under the bus with your introductions. I'm surprised you didn't.
That's true. I totally forgot to do that. And in our third seat, we have some guy named Soren.
And then I stand up and I wave to the audience over here. I take my time crossing the stage. I wave to the audience over here. I bow once more, graciously, and then return to my seat.
Oh, the boys truly are back in town.
Am I right? All right, Soren, we're going to get to know you a little bit better. But first, we like to tell our listeners what they're in store for today. We're going to talk a little bit about the most lit Twitter mural ever. we're going to talk about the continuing civil war or lack of civility debate between the left and the right that's going down on these streets. We're going to talk about the travel ban being upheld by the Supreme Court. We're going to talk about where these immigrants are coming from who are crossing the Mexican border and why and what happens when they get deported. We're going to talk about David Lynch saying that Donald Trump might be the best president ever. And then we're just going to do a bunch of fun stories with co-host Jamie Loftus towards the end. We're going to talk birthday watch. We're going to talk love watch. We're going to talk World Cup date. We're going to talk face watch. That one's with super producer Anna Hosnier. But first, we like to get to know our guest a little bit better. Soren, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are as a human being?
Just yesterday, I searched toddler Chicago fire.
Oh, no. I don't like where this is going.
No, it's better than that. It's much more like her than that. It was toddlers like Chicago fire, question mark, is what it was.
Toddler like Chicago.
I was really, so most of my searches are about my son because I'm worried about things constantly and concerned with everything that he does.
What does your son have to do with Chicago fire?
Well, good question. Okay. His favorite shows are Curious George and another one called PJ Masks and then Chicago Fire. And he's two.
Oh, the
and
TV
I
have no
the
idea.
TV show Chicago Fire, not
the Great Chicago Fire of 1904.
Not the cow one.
Not that. Okay. Yeah.
That's so strange.
It's very strange. And I didn't know if it was a weird. I'm always concerned that it's something. And so I want to check in with the internet and make sure that it's not, which is probably the worst place you should go for that kind of thing. But I was just checking to see if there are other kids who are like other parents would be like, oh yeah, my kid loves Chicago PD.
All just the Chicago shows.
Chicago Med is really where my kid's at.
Right.
Chicago Fire. I think it's just because there's firemen in it. But firemen make up the actual firefighting in that show makes up about 13% of that show. But he's just riveted by the dialogue and everything.
Really?
It's so weird. He won't watch any other live action television, but Chicago Fire is he's on.
Did you ever have to get through the Terrific Trucks period? Did you ever watch Terrific Trucks?
I have, yeah.
That show is terrible.
That is my son's favorite thing right now. There are some really, really bad ones. There's one called NutraVentures that's maybe the worst animation I've ever seen. And I still don't understand the plot of it. I've seen maybe 40 episodes of it. And it's some kids who are into nutrition, but they go through a bunch of different realms of reality to solve crimes that have nothing to do with nutrition.
Really? Child nutritionist.
It might be a Canadian show. It's on ION Television.
I did find out that Terrific Trucks is in fact a Canadian television, which is weird.
I miss when there was just like weird perverted adults that were talking to children directly on television all day, like Pappy Land style. Did you guys watch Pappy Land?
I know what Pappy Land is. Yeah.
Yeah.
We had a cartoon called, maybe it was just in Denver, called Blinky. It was you should look up the face of Blinky. He was a clown. And he looked kind of like a hobo clown, but it was just that. It was just him, like, talking directly to you.
Yeah. Like, I just want a perverted adult to talk to me about sharing for 20 minutes every day. Pappy Druitt, I had nightmares about Pappy Druitt for a long time.
Really?
He's just an old man in a cowboy suit who hung out with a bunch of animatronic bears. And then he'd be like, make sure to brush your teeth. It was like, so scary.
Yeah, brush them. Get in there.
I wonder if I bet he's dead. Anyways.
It's always fun to think about. I wonder how, like, I was watching old Sesame Street yesterday and wondering what happened to the old-timey actors who were in that in the 70s.
A lot of them are still on it, aren't they?
Are they?
The 70s. I don't know.
Yeah.
From my childhood, a lot of them are still there.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Gordon is still on it, and Bob is still on it.
Gordon's like the OG, too, right? Yeah. He's been on for like 40 years or something. There's one, I remember like when I was little, one of the old time cast members died and then they had to talk about death on screen. Oh,
that's
Blinky.
Blinky's terror. Everybody had Bozo the Clown, right?
Yeah.
That show sucked. That was really a bad show.
Sorry, Jamie, I interrupted.
Blinky. I just, my memory's wiped by Blinky. I have 7 days to live.
Well, fortunately, I just had picture pages, which was Bill Cosby, who, as we know, was not a pervert.
Oh, very cool guy.
Yeah, very chill guy. Who,
very good with kids.
Yes.
Pappy Druitt is regretfully still alive.
Is he like one of those old people who was actually not as old as they played, like the elder, like what's her name on Golden Girls?
Yeah, like I would have guessed he was a million when I was five and watching him, but turns out he was more like 50.
Right.
Turns out I don't know how to spell Pappy Druitt because I just tried to look it up and instead got papaya fruit.
Uh-huh.
It's Pappy Druitt of Pappy Land. That's a disgusting name for a children's show. That sounds like a crime. Like
Soren, what is something you think is overrated?
I think breakfast is overrated.
Oh, wow.
Ooh. Cosine.
People talk about breakfast being the most important meal of the day, and I think that that's bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah, because first of all, what people eat for breakfast is like, it's basically just a big pancreatic shock. It's like, it's sugar heavy.
Yes.
Most breakfast foods are heavy, heavy sugar, including cereals. Like, even the cereals that are supposedly really good for you are still really sugar heavy. And that's the last thing you should eat when you haven't eaten in like 7 or 8 hours.
What you're going to want to do is you're going to want to get like a lot of sugar and dairy. Just load your insides up with dairy and sugar.
Yeah,
and
people are like, this is the way to start your day.
Right.
Like, jumpstart your day.
Yeah, yeah.
And then eat the worst things for you.
Just get real hyper for like 25 minutes and then crash right when you get to school. Yeah, I agree that breakfast is overrated.
It's for narcs, losers, and dweebs, unfortunately.
Totally.
It's also just crazy that we have a dessert meal. Anything goes with breakfast except things that are actually pretty good for you. Like, you can't have chicken for breakfast. That's fucking crazy.
You can have chicken and waffles.
Or chicken sausage. Yeah.
But like a roast chicken, no, you can't do that.
There's too many rules with breakfast. Yeah, it's like you can have all the food groups, but it's only very specific. You can only have like sauce, like they're like sausage is okay, breakfast meat, but if you have chicken, you may as well walk into traffic. Like,
regulate. But you can have their embryos, right?
You can
have their unfertilized.
That's probably the healthiest thing that we have for breakfast. But everything else, pancakes, that's such a cheat.
I ate pancakes this morning.
Waffles.
And I am high right now. I agree. I still enjoy it. I still partake. It's a fun thing to do with your kid in the morning.
I like breakfast content better than I like breakfast itself.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like people talking about their breakfast. I like hearing people enjoying their breakfast. I'm not going to participate.
You enjoy hearing that crunch of cereal over a newspaper? That,
yeah. I appreciate that other people are starting their day. I would prefer my day to never start.
Cereal is a thing that if I have a problem food, it is definitely cereal. I can't stop a bowl of cereal. Like I'll pour it in and then like I'll finish the cereal and there'll be milk left. So then I'll pour more cereal in and then eat it until there's no more milk left and pour more milk in, and it just never stops for me.
Okay.
I will eat a whole box
just
of cereal.
Just a snake eating its tail.
It's
really
like what they actually planned with hot dogs when they sold the wrong amount of buns for the winners.
Right,
but
exactly.
They're like, now you got to eat more.
Now you have to eat all the hot dogs. What is something you think is underrated?
I think Arby's is completely underrated.
Oh, God damn it. Here we go.
Wait, is this a stance?
Soren's
going to
try and hijack this show and make it all about Arby's. Soren's whole life is sponsored by Arby's.
Jack, I'm hooking you up. This is going to be a great sponsorship for this show.
Okay. All right, tell us about Arby's.
Arby's is the punchline of jokes.
Yeah.
Arby's, people think of it as like the shittiest of the fast foods.
Yeah, and you guys got the meats. We get it. All right.
I think I call it one of the tops. Well, I will qualify this by saying that I don't eat red meat.
Right. So you don't eat the RB.
I don't
of
eat
Arby's.
Yeah, I don't eat the roast beef.
Okay.
I have no idea if that's good or not.
What a clever name for a restaurant.
I just realized that too. I didn't know it either.
Oh, is that true?
I don't know.
It must be, right?
No, I'm just saying, is that true? You guys are that dumb that you didn't realize it.
Oh, okay, we're just getting roasted.
You're just getting roasted. Sick burn.
Like beef. They have things called market fresh sandwiches there.
Right, like turkey carver type things,
it's
right?
It's amazing, yeah. So there are a lot of different fast food restaurants, and I know because I keep track when they try and branch out into sandwiches, and it always sucks. Like, they try and do a turkey sandwich, and the meat's just not good because they have to use such large quantities of, like, processed meat to get it cheap enough. But for some reason, Arby's nailed it. Arby's has, like, delicious turkey there, and they've got, like, a turkey Swiss on a whole wheat honey bread that'll blow your mind. It's so good, and it's probably, like, the best thing for you at a fast food restaurant. Also, their curly fries are better than any other curly fries.
Curly fries are really good for you. That's not true.
Do you know that Arby's owns Buffalo Wild Wings?
No.
Like, they've got spending money.
Wow.
They just bought B-dub-dub.
Wait, they didn't start it. They just, like, bought it.
No, they were just feeling spendy one day.
They were
and
like,
they bought Buffalo Wild Wings.
They're like, this restaurant's a little too popular. We should take it over and Arby-ize it.
I had no idea. Oh, what's the one? Oh, Wing Street. That's part of Pizza Hut.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love restaurant combo places. It's so nice. The Taco Bell KFCs. It's like, wow, I really
Yum
can
brands.
Have everything I want to kill me at one time.
They started getting rid of a lot of them. For a long time, there were those Pizza Hut Taco Bells, and I love going and getting some breadsticks and a Mexican pizza.
Right.
I wasn't much for the Bell Hut, but I did like, I love the KF Bell.
Yeah.
KFC Taco Bell is just
What was your combo there? What did you like to combine?
Oh, I would get a beefy five-layer burrito and mashed potatoes. Really good.
But see, Taco Bell has been incorporating the potato into their menu.
Yeah.
I feel like they realized that
they started reading my letters.
Fools! Soren, what is a myth, finally? What is something people think is true that you know to be false?
Chris Hardwick did all that stuff. People, I'm just kidding.
Oh no! Oh god! Oh boy.
I would say that breakfast is the most important meal of a day. But let me of other things. Let's see. That whole myth that daddy long legs are poisonous. Long legs are even spiders.
Wait, they're not spiders?
What?
No,
they're just those big mosquito things that have had their wings pulled off.
The traditional, like what you think of as a daddy long leg, it only has one body segment. All spiders have two body segments. So it is in the arachnid family in the same way that like scorpions are, but it's not a spider.
Wow.
Yeah. It doesn't produce like silk or anything like that. It's just a silly little bug.
Hmm.
That's the first myth busted I learned from.
And all the other ones, you're just like, yeah, no shit.
Well, I guess
idiot.
Usually I'm just like, I hate my dad.
People think my dad is a good dad.
He's likable, but he can't even keep track of his own damn teeth.
There's prosthetic leg is always over the house.
My brother has started texting me pictures of where my dad leaves his teeth. And
I saw one on Twitter.
They're cursed images. Everyone who sees a picture of my dad's teeth has like minutes to live. It's horrible.
So some people get cellar spiders confused. Do you think of that as a daddy long leg?
Yeah.
Oh, see that
it's like leg segments, right?
Yeah, but that's what I think of as a daddy long leg.
Oh, wait, I don't know the difference between the two things you just showed me.
That's a spite. I don't think of that as a daddy long legs.
Oh, really?
I think of the thing with like real wispy legs. Wispy long legs.
This guy right there?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's called cellar spider. That is a spider. So
okay.
You're back to knowing nothing, Jamie.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Amazing.
Perfect. Well,
cool.
Thanks.
Guys, check out pictures of my dad's teeth.
I think the takeaway for everyone is check out pictures of Jamie's dad's teeth. All right, guys, let's get into the stories of the day. And there is this Twitter mural in the Los Angeles area that is totally lit. And it makes me ashamed for not being verified, and it is so cool. It's basically, so there's a tent. When you approach it on the street, it's just a tent against a wall.
It's on Melrose.
With a security guy standing outside of it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you basically can't get in to take a selfie in front of the mural unless you have 20,000 followers or are verified.
So you guys could go, right?
Yeah, I think we could go.
You should go.
I mean,
you gotta get a picture
definitely
in front of this hideous piece of shit mural. Finally. I'm just salty. I can't go.
Finally, my verification has paid off.
Yeah.
See, the thing that people don't understand is that there are wings on it, and if you stand in front of it, it looks like you have wings.
You're an angel. You look like a bad tattoo.
Right.
You're taking part in a bad tattoo.
And Los Angeles is known as the City of Angels. See, a lot of people don't know that. So
hold on.
That's what you
I will
understand.
Say that my favorite thing in a piece of art is if the art says on it art, so that I know for sure what I'm looking at is
Does
art.
It say art?
Yeah.
I think that the point of art is to exclude as many people as humanly possible. And so it's a beautiful thing. I think it's a great idea. You guys have to get a pic with the... I've been bugging everyone who's qualified to go and then just bring a little canister of their pee-pee and just spill it. I want someone to spill their pee on the mural.
So this is either a Black Mirror episode come to life, or as you suspect, Jamie, it might be a Nathan For You stunt. Is that right?
A lot of people are speculating it's a Nathan For You stunt. What we know for sure at the time of this recording is it's affiliated with a show called Like and Subscribe, which is set to debut on July 9th. Network unclear. There's like an Instagram account attached to it, which is making people think, oh, it's probably like a shell show set up by Nathan Fielder or a show like that for free publicity. And I don't know. I mean, I guess that the mural has worked because everyone's talking about it. Very few people are actually participating in it. Like if you look at like tags of influencers who have actually gone, I think it's kind of like a debasing thing to participate in.
Yeah.
Unless... if you're listening, you want to bring a little jar of your pee-pee and spill it on the mural.
So your idea now is to spill a little bit of your own pee-pee on the mural.
Yes, and you have to call it pee-pee.
Uh-huh.
You cannot call it anything else.
When you're being arrested, you have to refer to it.
Yeah. I think, people should put a little bit of pee-pee on the art just to mix it up. No, but I mean, people are upset about it. I don't know. I think it's an ugly mural, and who cares?
It's a bullshit mural.
It's so ugly. Which is what makes me think even more so that it's like some sort of prank because it's so bad.
You know who I think is upset about it is losers who don't have 20,000 followers and aren't verified, guys.
Oh, cool. someone call the cops.
Right. No, so this is obviously weird and disgusting, and I will be taking a selfie there later today. So,
I think it's important to get in front of it and just justify yourself a little bit wrong on the wings. So,
right.
So it doesn't quite work.
Or do the thing where it looks like the wings are coming out of your fly. Like,
yeah.
I'm starting a mural for losers to take a picture right next to. the big one. It'll just be like a different set of wings.
Right. Like a slightly worse mural.
It's completely covered, right? There's canvas around it?
Yes.
So I could get naked in there if I wanted to?
You could.
You could go
and
wild.
And should. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I bet there's like no supervision, right?
Right.
You could like take some weird nudes in front of the... Listen, I'm just throwing it out there to them verified masses.
Right. All right. And we also want to talk about the lack of civility. The uncivility war that's going on between the left and the right now. So the left has been accosting, the people of power in the Trump administration at restaurants. They've been making Sarah Sanders get up in the midst of her cheese plate and leave their restaurant. So all-out war has been declared. There was a protest at Stephen Miller's house yesterday, or his apartment, outside of his apartment, and they put up wanted posters. And actually, Fox and Friends this morning reported on this, and I really like the direction that one of the hosts takes this segment.
This could backfire on Democrats if they keep it up.
And it can incite violence. Eventually, if someone approaches your family, you're going to want to defend yourself. If they're yelling nasty comments to you about your politics in front of your kids, it's humiliating.
Look at that.
She's not saying
Stephen Miller's going to shoot
somebody. She's worried that they're going to shoot the conservatives will kill the people protesting them. I think they probably had this on the teleprompter as talk about the risk of violence. And she was like, yeah, well, I mean, we might shoot them because we're armed very clearly and we're going to murder them. So that's awesome. But this seems to have started the debate, the idea of like people on the left protesting powerful people on the right in their private lives. There have been a couple instances that have popped up of, you know, people on the right accosting people on the left that aren't necessarily people of power. There was a video yesterday where a Mexican gentleman was doing yard work and a woman walked up to him and just like gave him the finger. And he said, "Why do you hate us?" And she said, "Because you're Mexicans." And he said, "We are honest people right here." And she said, "Haha, yeah, rapists and animals." This is on the heels of that one woman calling the police on a 10-year-old black girl for selling water on the street because she didn't have a permit to be selling water. I don't know. It's just funny to me that we've started this, quote, like debate around civility, and it's all centers around, you know, how the left is treating Stephen Miller in his private life, as opposed to, you know, how right-wing people and Trump supporters are treating, you know, normal, not powerful left-wing people. Or not even left-wing people, just people.
Like, just people being cranky that people are exercising their right to protest. I find it very annoying that people are exercising their rights in my direction. That's actually very unchill, and we should have a fascist government. It's
right.
Like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's what you're asking.
I just hate the false equivalence of it. I mean, everybody who is complaining about throwing Sarah Sanders out of that restaurant is like, well, my friend has to bake cakes for the gays. This guy should have to serve her. And it's such like, it's so dumb. You can't have somebody who's outside yelling and berating people in the restaurant and then come in and be like, yeah, we're going to serve you.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, I don't know. She's a pretty awful person.
And restaurants are like well within their rights to like it's just
refuse service to an individual person.
Someone pointed out like it's totally legal if somebody comes into your restaurant and they were like a bully to you in high school. It's totally okay for you to be like, no, fuck you. I don't like you personally, and therefore you can't eat at my restaurant.
They did not serve
Heather?
Her because she was
right.
because she
you
was
can't eat at this IHOP.
A woman.
Right.
They didn't serve her because she's not a nice person.
Right. She's a bad person. All right. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. And we're back. And yeah, we were just talking about how Mike Huckabee was tweeting a picture of MS-13 and tweeted, "These are Nancy Pelosi's followers." So, you know, chill family. The Huckabees. So, guys, big news. Trump's travel ban has been upheld in a 5-4 decision.
With that Supreme Court that he stole?
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is a 5-4 decision that would have definitely gone the other way with the Obama nominee, with Garland. But instead, we have Gorsuch. And it went the direction of the conservatives. I don't know. This made me think of the fact that Republicans are better at this than progressives are. They're like, I don't know. They did an unprecedented thing to steal a Supreme Court nominee, but it was, turns out it's legal. And that's where we are. The Republicans know they have to do whatever they're legally permitted to do in order to protect and like advance their ideology. And they're wrong, and the vast majority of the world and even most people in America know they're wrong, so they have to like use tricks and like underdog strategies to win. Like they have to, you know, find loopholes and, you know, think outside the box.
It's a real case against asking for forgiveness instead of permission.
Right.
Yeah.
Malcolm Gladwell wrote this book, David vs. Goliath, where he talked about like all these underdog strategies and like how if you have like a basketball team that's less talented than the other teams, if you do this like one strategy of just doing a full court press, you can usually like do much better than your talent would suggest. And he also like looked at insurgent warfare and like how, you know, the North Vietnamese defeated the vastly more powerful U.S. Army, and the U.S. Army had them beaten, like all the things that warfare is supposed to be about: weapons, manpower, technology, spending. But like they were able to just, you know, outscrap them. And I feel like it's a similar case with conservatives versus progressives. Like progressives have Republicans beat in every category that should matter in politics. They have they're right, and people know they're right for the most part. Like, America is way more conservative than the rest of the world because science and reason are the, like, dominant values in the modern world, and reason and science support progressive values. The left has, like, a media that knows they're right. The truth sort of has a liberal progressive bias. Their core ideology is helping others in, like, a Christian nation. Demographically, they already win the popular vote, and things are trending more in their direction. Like, Republicans have a shitty hand, but they know they have a shitty hand, and they focus on ways of using like loopholes and brutality. They're just shameless, I feel like. And
they're using a Mighty Ducks strategy to make
exactly.
the world a harder
they
place to
They are the Mighty
live
Ducks
in
of politics.
Everyone.
Yeah.
God.
This is Little Big League. Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
And I feel like
the hidden ball trick over and over
Zambonis.
Again.
I feel like Democrats assume, and this is what I had kind of assumed, that because progressive values are right, that they'll win out in the end. Like the whole when they go low, we go high sort of has an implication that it's just being right will self-evidently win out in the end. And I feel like that's not necessarily the case. Like, you have to play the game and,
yeah,
like, play it ruthlessly in order to, you know, beat these people who are fucking brutal and just, like, finding every single loophole to steal decisions and steal. And, you know, it doesn't matter how they're doing it because they are affecting people's lives.
Elizabeth Warren needs to watch The Wire.
Yeah.
Or Game of Thrones. Something where, like,
I feel like Game of Thrones is the way, because Game of Thrones was, I think, you know, there would be these moments in Game of Thrones where the whole world would be like, oh no, what happened? And it's because it was like the first show that was like, okay, so here's where the narrative conventions would lead. This handsome underdog would defeat the giant, like, monstrous guy he's fighting in battle because he has truth and justice on his side, and he's like the more fun progressive guy, and that guy's head gets squashed like a grape because it's based more on like how history works. And the way history works is that the people who are willing to use violence and, you know, just, you know, kick dirt in your
dragons
face.
Dragons and
yeah,
stuff.
And dragons, like, as we all know, people who are willing to use dragons tend to win out in history.
Listen, this is gibberish to me. I'm not a dweeb who watches Game of Thrones.
Right.
However, Yeah, I don't. This, and especially because this Supreme Court decision happened today,
right?
Like on the day of primary elections in New York, it's just such a slap in the face of like, well, yeah, enjoy voting. Everyone should absolutely vote, but your vote doesn't really matter, and people can steal stuff from you anyways, regardless of what you think and how like civically engaged you are. Just depressing.
Yeah, but I mean, it should matter. I feel like the people who progressives vote for should be better at their job and like realize that they're playing a different game. They still believe in civility and, you know, the right is out here. They're just like, no, we're not going to let you do the thing that it seems like all indications would be that you should be allowed to nominate a Supreme Court justice, but we're just not going to do that, even though it's historically unprecedented.
It is crazy. And yeah, it does feel like their sense, the left's, the political representatives of the left all are, they are acting like they can't be wrong in the end, that somehow this is all going to work out for them.
Right.
It, to this point that like their sense of how to fight for anything is atrophied. They're so bad at countering things that are so clearly bad.
Right.
Like, Trump couldn't paint bigger targets on the things that he's doing. And instead they're like, well, let's see. What does the average person care about? Oh, right. Kathy Griffin, let's go defend her.
Right. Yeah,
no,
yeah, yeah.
No, you're missing the point.
Well, and he's also good at like figuring out what people care about and just being realizing people care about, you know, little fucking reality TV wars and shit like that, that he can, you know, he's running the presidency like a reality TV.
I think, yeah, the average person, the sense of civility that we even have among average citizens of the United States, whether we're acknowledging it or not, the president does exemplify what the civility is of the people. And he is the least civil person there is.
Yeah.
And everyone else is just acting in accordance to that. He says terrible things about other human beings on Twitter all the time. And everybody else is like, oh, that's how we're talking now? All right, cool.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, do you guys feel, do you ever just think, okay, well, history will prove us right? Like, I think that about the Trump administration. I'm just like, yeah, but that doesn't help anybody to think that way. Like, history vindicating you doesn't help anyone.
And that's just like the version of history that we've been given, which is written by the mostly the bad people anyways.
Right.
So it's just like, I don't know. We don't know who's been like buried by time.
Right. That's
so
true.
The good guys lose and we're doomed.
Yep.
Cool.
And hey, speaking of doomed, so we wanted to take a look at the whole immigration debate has kind of talked around the story of where some of these folks are coming from, because, you know, I think there's been stories about how a lot of them are having to cross the entire country of Mexico, and how that's gotten more and more treacherous as Mexico has kind of got deadlier and deadlier. And so we had one of our writers, Sam Rabman, kind of take a look at where most of the people who are being detained are coming from. And so it used to be like 98% of the people crossing the Mexican border were just originally from Mexico. And that wasn't very long ago at all. That was like within the last 10 years. But now it's 50% people from Central America, like El Salvador and Honduras and Guatemala. 50% of the people are coming across the border from there. And a big part of it is that during the Obama administration, there was, you know, people talk about how Obama deported more people than any administration in the history of the world. And his administration was deporting like people who had committed crimes, but he was deporting them back to their home countries. And when he deported all those people back to their home countries who were criminals, like, those countries got really, really bad. And so now you have basically this chain reaction of the people who aren't, you know, horrible criminals, who weren't just deported there, are now fleeing the countries because
to escape the criminals that Obama sent back.
Right. So on the one hand, it's like not a bad exchange, you know, we're sending them the people who have all committed like felonies and murders, and we're getting the people who are like, ah, fuck. But they're really coming from horrifying shit. Like, El Salvador became the world's most violent country, not at war in 2015, when gang-related violence brought its homicide rate to 103 per 100,000.
Whoa.
In the U.S., it's 5.4 per 100,000 people. And a lot of the times people who are fleeing and are like, I'm seeking asylum, I'm in a lot of trouble back there, please let me stay in America. When the United States is like, we don't believe that you're in that much trouble and send them back, they do get murdered. There's like all sorts of cases of, I think the Columbia School of Journalism identified 60 cases of immigrants deported back to their country who were then killed or harmed in the way that they were specifically asking to, like trying to escape.
It's nuts that we're keeping better track of the people we sent back than the kids we have here.
Right. Yeah. So that's the other thing, is there's not really a system to reunite parents and kids because they just weren't paying that much attention in the first place, because it was just a half-assed decision that was like, yeah, we'll show them. Yeah. So also a bummer.
Boy.
Yeah.
This podcast is fun.
Yeah, exactly. Am I right? Yeah, but I mean, so there's one story of this guy, Constantino Morales, who was shot and killed back in Mexico. He was a former police officer in Mexico who publicly stood up against drug trafficking, and like, you know, cartels kept trying to kill him. So he came to the U.S. in search of asylum, and he got pulled over for a traffic violation and was found to not have a driver's license, which I know people who drive without a driver's license.
Hi.
They are some of my favorite people drive without a driver's license. And he was sent back to Mexico for a traffic offense, essentially, and was shot and killed. So,
oh, man.
Yeah, he was basically given a death sentence for a traffic violation.
Also, I mean, the reason that these countries are in such bad shape in the first place is U.S. has a pretty heavy hand in a lot of that, too. El Salvador, all those Central
right.
American countries, we that's how we get our cheap bananas and coffee, man,
yeah.
Is that we overthrew power so that we could get cheaper food from there. And we're like, we'd prefer your government be this instead.
Right.
And it's still having these lasting, awful effects. And then also the drug trade. The drug trade, there's a reason it's all moving north. We're all doing drugs here. Like, we want those drugs.
Yeah. And no, drugs are great.
And we wouldn't have those if all this stuff wasn't going on. If everyone in the United States is just like, you know, either we make drugs legal or we just, everyone has got to stop doing drugs so that everybody stops getting killed in these Central American countries.
Yeah. Can we all agree to stop doing drugs, guys? Right?
It's just really
I'm getting a resounding no.
Narcs
from the room.
Of note.
Yeah.
I've been outed as an unlicensed driver.
Yeah, I'm keeping a list of Jamie Loftus things. Hates Game of Thrones.
Right.
Loves drugs. Does not drive with a license.
I did not out you. I said
producer.
Some of my favorite people. I wasn't even talking about you.
I turned myself into the cops on the air. Anna has already threatened to arrest me on 3 different post-its.
Yeah, super producer Anna Hosnier has been sliding post-it notes across the table.
Saying
to
she's
Jamie Loftus.
Been on this sting for over 5 years.
Almost has enough.
And finally, David Lynch is on a interview tour for his autobiography, which I don't know.
I love when people are promoting their autobiographies and then just provides you with a sound clip of why you should not be
right.
interested in what they have to say at all.
There you go.
Yeah.
So he's just been doing countless interviews, and, you know, he's a little bit of a quirky guy. By all accounts, a very, like, friendly person in person.
A manic, like, pixie dream elder.
Right. He really is. Just, like, very nice and, like, almost affected to a degree. He credits his serene happiness to transcendental meditation, which is the closest thing to an accepted cult in the Los Angeles area. But that's just me talking. I'm sure a bunch of our guests would disagree.
Jack, by the way, heavy Scientologist.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, the real cult is the psychiatry and psychiatric medication.
Yeah. When the Twin Peaks reboot came out last year, I tweeted something to the effect of David Lynch is David Foster Wallace for people who can't read. And I literally had to delete it because the chodes came for me.
So
they
hard.
Were like, not my friend David. He taught me how to breathe slow.
David Lynch is, I mean, even though I don't care what he has to say, I could listen to him talk about anything for a very long time. There's, if you ever watch Empire City, is that what's City of Empire? What's that movie
City
that he
Empires.
Made?
Inland Empire.
Yeah, Inland Empire. Yeah. That movie in the deleted scenes, or no, in the extra features, he talks for about 18 minutes about how to make quinoa. And like in the middle of
no!
it, there's an intermission of him sitting out on his porch smoking a cigarette and telling the story about how he gave this girl on an Indian train her first Coca-Cola. And it's horrifying. Like the whole thing is, it feels very, very tense. And at any minute, something like the bomb is going to drop of this story. And there is no bomb. It's just the way that he talks,
he's
and the way that he lives his life.
Bomb over you.
Yeah, I mean, well, any story about an older man offering a young woman an open beverage, I find chilling to the core.
Chilling.
Yeah.
Coca-Cola.
David Lynch just bothers me. Whatever.
Anyways, it's become a big thing in right-wing media that he said that Trump could be the best president in the history of presidents.
Oh, David,
he could go down as one of the greatest presidents in history, but, I mean, he did say it, so, I mean, he is leaving that possibility open. His claim, he was putting it in the context of anything can happen. He has disrupted the thing so much, no one is able to counter this guy in an intelligent way, which is kind of what we were just saying, that like he has completely changed the level of discourse to the point that like people don't know really how to counter him. But I don't think he will go down as one of the greatest presidents in history. You guys can quote me on that.
What has David Lynch accomplished by saying that?
Right. He's just, you know, putting it out there that
what a doink.
I think he's probably accomplishing, hey, conservatives buy books too. You know
what? Honestly, I think
just widening
that
the net.
Right.
Ultimately, this is net good for any person who's like someone they're dating is trying to defend the work of David Lynch. I don't like art that's designed to make me feel like a fucking idiot. And that's most of what David Lynch does. He's like, it's long and confusing. And there's a dick at the end. It's like, okay, cool. We've all, you know, done a year of film school. Like, what do you?
I live for that kind of stuff. I want it to be that way.
3 hours and a dick at the end?
3 hours and a dick at the end is anything in my life. Meals, that's what I want. I like it when the artist is like, listen, I'm going to hide a lot of shit in here, and you're going to have to find it. Because then it feels like I'm the one who's like got to flip it over and look at the answer key and be like, okay, all right, okay, so this means this, this means this. And I like that a lot. I like that in his movies. But you're right, it is pretentious and
it's
shitty.
Kind of insane how David Lynch will never make anything better than Jane the Virgin, which is the best show of all time. And I don't know. I just, David Lynch, for all the positives his work, you know, has, and it's not bad. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm saying it's David Foster Wallace for people who can't read. It's David Foster Wallace for the illiterate.
And Jane the Virgin is
for geniuses who rule, like,
exactly.
Like me.
And we're going to go out on that. We will be right back after these messages. And we're back. And the ESPN butt issue is out. Am I right? They just show people's butts. That's all it is. It's just naked people showing their butts.
The Rippon ass got me good. Adam Rippon's butt, holy moly. I took screenshots.
Yeah?
You got to check out that butt.
Adam Rippon.
So that you could have it whenever you wanted it?
It went. Also, the algorithm knew I wanted to see that butt because it kept rising to the top of my feed multiple times yesterday. They're like, hey, remember when you were agape at that butt earlier today? Here it is again from a different angle. You're like,
There it is. Wow.
Look at that butt.
That is something.
It's a sinewy.
There's a lot of muscle going on.
I freaked out.
He looks like a human erection.
Hey, that's not the only thing going on today, is it, Jamie?
No.
It's time for Jamie Loftus's birthday watch.
Guess whose birthday it is, guys?
Whose birthday is it?
The woman with the 40-pound ponytail, Ariana Grande, is 25 years old today.
All right.
I know.
Hey, happy birthday to Ariana Grande, guys.
I'm just grateful that we're finally the same age and have accomplished the same amount, which is, like, pretty cool.
You also sort of have a gait that's like a side-to-side gait.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Yeah, maybe she also has pretty bad scoliosis as well. There's a really interesting Ariana Grande article I was reading earlier today on The Verge about big dick energy. Are you guys familiar with the term big dick energy? It's kind of like a fluid term. It means something different to everyone. But basically, she used the term online, and now it's sort of being interpreted as confidence.
Right.
Big dick energy. Like Pete Davidson would be interpreted to have big dick energy because it doesn't seem like he should be dating her, and yet he is.
Okay.
So now she's, I don't know. I'm looking forward to integrating big dick energy into how I talk about people. An example of big dick energy is like if you meet someone, you're like, oh, I thought you were going to be taller.
Right.
Just because of your vibe. Mm-hmm. I get the opposite all the time.
You get
like, you're 5'7", and it's like, I'm 6 feet tall. It's actually really upsetting that you would think that.
You have little dick energy?
I have chode energy. I have withered chode energy.
It's just a secret way to say that guy shouldn't be with that woman.
Right.
Oh, he's got big dick energy then.
Yeah, he must have big dick energy. It's sort of, it's a backhanded compliment at best.
Right, and she made it about her fiancé?
She made it about her fiancé.
Hey.
She also tweeted his dick size and then deleted it quickly, but the screenshots endure.
What is it?
She, you know, per Ariana, 10 inches.
Wow.
So like
that
also
is big dick energy.
Big dick energy.
See, because I figured Pete Davidson was about 10 inches tall.
Turns it's out
he's also he's the height of his alleged dick.
He is very uncomfortable all the time. Hey Jamie, it's time for Love Watch with
love
Jamie
watch,
Loftus.
Love Watch. I'm an expert on love. So my focus on Love Watch today has to do with the royal family in Japan.
Okay.
Because in the past couple of months, there have been two princesses in Japan who have voluntarily left or said they're going to leave the royal family to marry commoners.
What?
So, which brings us right back to that big dick energy we
right.
were talking
Seriously.
About earlier. So as of this morning, it was reported that Princess Ayako is engaged to a he works at a shipping factory, I believe. She met him. She has a degree in social work and does like a lot of charity stuff. And she met him through that, and they fell in love. They met less than a year ago.
Wow.
And now the way the imperial family in Japan works, you have to leave the family in order to marry a regular guy.
Right.
So
you're expected to marry your cousin or
your brother, your daddy,
like something
keep
normal.
Keep it in the fam.
Not a commoner.
Keep it. Yeah, they got to have your face, or you cannot marry them.
Right.
If you didn't take a bath with them, you legally cannot marry them. And I think that applies to all royal families. So she's required to leave the royal family. It very nearly happened earlier this year. Princess Mako declared her intention to marry her college sweetheart and then later backtracked on that and was like, actually, I'm not ready for marriage. But it's speculated that it's because she would have had to leave the family and was having second thoughts. And so the interesting thing to me, because first of all, women in power marrying everyday chodes, love it.
Right.
Big dick energy, great.
Yes. Aladdin has big dick energy.
Aladdin has huge dick energy.
Yeah.
He's got to wear those baggy pants.
Dick energy.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Whereas Jafar, more like me, very tall, withered chode
withered
energy.
Chode
however,
energy.
Like is 6'2", gives off a 5'4". So the interesting thing, the way this affects the Japanese imperial family is because women keep leaving and like bailing on the family because there's really no way for them to ever really have a meaningful role in that family anyways because they still only allow male heirs.
Oh.
There is talk in Japan of that changing because the current emperor is scheduled to abdicate in 2019, which is apparently a thing that happens. You can just retire.
Just abdicate.
You're just like, oh, peace.
And it goes to the next male in line,
right?
Essentially,
there wasn't a male heir for a while, but then in 2006, a male heir was born. So they were in the middle of figuring out, oh, how could we have a female leader? And then little baby big dick energy pops out, and all of a sudden they're like, actually, we'd rather be ruled by a 12-year-old than a woman who has a master's degree.
Sure, right.
Sure. Yeah. No. Great, great, great. Good to know where everyone's values are at.
Right.
But shouts out to Princess Ayako. She's marrying a blue collar guy, very Romeo Juliet.
Like Juliet.
No, actually, they were both rich, right?
Yeah, they were both rich.
Yeah, and that was also statutory rich.
Their families
were
just mad at each other.
You know what? Bad story. Scrap it.
Yeah, it definitely has a like fable story to it. Like the princess marries the commoner, has to like learn to be a commoner, and then I think.
Well, also
frog
she,
is involved somehow. I
she
don't
also
know.
Gets
fables
a,
are stupid.
She also gets like a million, like what's equivalent to $1 million payout to leave the family. Of
oh.
Like they're like, oh yeah, enjoy your life as a commoner in this gorgeous
right,
mansion.
Right.
But interesting that you know, imperial families are still so nervous about any female in power that they're like, actually, you have to leave the family and
right.
you can never return, which isn't the case for every family like that.
Right. That would be like if they made Harry leave because he was marrying Meghan.
Yeah. It would have been a great, yeah, it's like, I want to see the Japanese royal wedding, but they're like, no, you actually have to go to the local congregational church.
Right.
Do it on a Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah, I actually didn't really know that there were still princesses and
I didn't either.
Princes in Japan until we were watching the World Cup, and they showed a princess cheering when Japan scored an equalizer. That's right. It's time for the World Cup date. All right. Thank you, Doug.
My blood pressure just spiked.
Nothing makes you feel cooler.
I love sporting. I love sporting.
Yeah, Jamie, let's get the World Cup date from you.
Can I just say, Jack, global sporting rules.
Global
sporting across the globe, I'm here for it. I like that. What is the Zamboni of soccer? There's no Zamboni of soccer. Is
the
it
lawnmower?
Bad to call it? Boring. There's why don't they have a gigantic lawnmower? I guess they do. Here's the World Cup date.
That wasn't it?
That was, what's a land Zamboni? What is a Zamboni of the sea? Okay. Anna wrote this for me because I don't understand how sports work. Okay. Iran and Portugal tied, so that kicked Iran out of the tournament. But the Iranian goalie, Alireza Behrenvand?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Stopped a penalty goal by legend Cristiano Ronaldo. Do know who that is. And he was such a little bitch about it. He got very pissed. He was like, hey, excuse me, this is my game. And he was very upset. And he got a little weepy about it, which is what I love about sports is when men can openly display emotion and be supported, but they need like a, it's like a koosh ball, you know, but an actual ball. Global sporting's good. What else? There's some
back
scores.
Back to you.
That's our sporting enthusiast, Jamie Loftus.
There's a couple of scores that are going and others that are in progress. Who will win?
Scores that are going.
Right now, there's a tie. There's two ties right now.
Nigeria and Argentina are tied as we record this.
Uh-huh.
So if that continues, Nigeria will go on to the round of 16. But the round of 16 is being ironed out.
The round of 16?
Yes.
So how many rounds are
32,
there?
32. So 32 teams start out. Half of them get eliminated from their group. So far we have Uruguay and Russia are moving on. Saudi Arabia and Egypt have been eliminated. Spain and Portugal are moving on. Iran and Morocco have been eliminated. France and Denmark moving on. Peru and Australia eliminated. So Croatia is definitely moving on. Nigeria is probably going to move on. 538 is giving it an 84% chance, 85 now. Wow.
Wow.
That changed as
stats,
I was looking at
sports.
It.
Sports. Uh-huh. Kicking.
Switzerland,
don't
Brazil.
Don't touch it. That's against the rules.
Right.
Unless
there it,
it goes outside the chalk line.
Or
and then
goalie.
You can pick it up.
You know what's
then
crazy that hands. I was looking at? I was trying to figure out the rules for like how they determine who in the group. Like if the records are the same and if the goals are the same, then they go to like number of red and yellow cards.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and like your red and yellow cards like count against you.
Fifth grade discipline style.
Yeah. like that would be like if the NBA was like, okay, well, the score is tied at the end of the fourth quarter, so who had the most fouls? All right, you lose.
You lose.
Right.
My last soccer memory was when I was six and I caught the ball because I forgot the rules.
Yeah.
And then they went, Jamie! And then I cried. I was like, you know, that's a wrap on me and sports for the rest of my life.
Sounds like my baseball career.
For stats heads, there are a lot of things you can follow now with soccer. Like you can see how far somebody has run the whole game.
Yeah.
Like you can keep track of how many kilometers they've gone. And if you look at the Russian team, like the stats are just juked. Like these guys are running more than twice as much as anybody else up and down the field.
Oh, really?
Where are yeah. they going?
So they're just so high.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that these guys are juiced.
Yeah.
that Russia, who has a long, illustrious history of juicing their athletes,
right.
suddenly their athletes are killing everybody in the World Cup out of nowhere. Nobody thought Russia was going to be good.
Right.
And they're amazing. And it's like, oh, okay.
Their pupils are like the size of their whole eyes.
Russian
they're
athletes
like,
are bona fide scammers.
Yeah.
Always have been, always will be.
Yeah, so that's all crazy. Messi, it looks like, might be eliminated if his team continues to tie Nigeria.
What team he on?
He on Argentina. And
cool.
He's tied with Nigeria, which would mean he loses to Nigeria. And Nigeria has the coolest uniforms in the World Cup, so we'll
better
root
than,
for them.
Better than the Netherlands, who look like they're all going hunting?
I actually haven't seen the Netherlands.
Netherlands
are they terrible?
They wear bright orange. I think almost
oh,
every
yeah,
single
yeah,
game.
Yeah,
really?
That's right. Yeah.
That's a bold move.
Yeah.
Bright, I like it.
Bright orange. It looked like traffic cones.
That's
like
very traffic. I like it. I don't understand. Why did soccer is just like hockey on the field, right?
Yeah. You play on an outdoor rink.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That has grass on it.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like we could be playing hockey, but we're not.
Right. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Not really, but.
Same rules.
Right.
There are a lot of similar rules. You're not wrong.
Is there hat tricks?
There
yeah.
are. Yeah,
there are hat tricks in soccer?
Yeah, there's offsides. There's no
oh,
icing.
Oh, I don't know what that is. There's no ice. That's a big problem.
No, I'm saying there's no icing.
There's no
icing on the cake.
You can't punch anyone, right?
Yeah, it's like the opposite of being able to punch people. Like
yeah.
they will
it's
make your
simple.
Team lose if you punch somebody.
Or if you even if you'd like the semblance of a thought of a punch.
Right. The person
the
will
police, you yeah, can get penalties.
Yeah, the ref will come over and be like,
thoughts?
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
No.
Well, the other player will sense that you thought about punching them and fall to the ground and their head will fall off. And it's very dramatic. So I guess there are more similarities than I realized. All right, guys, it is that time that we all like. It is time for Face Watch with super producer Anna Hosnier. Anna.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much for having me back.
Face Watch.
I only come in for Face Watch. And if
no,
anyone...
not Face Wash. Face Watch, where Anna was.
Face Wash, brought to you by Proactive.
There you go.
You'll all be hearing from my lawyers. But if anyone watched The Bachelor last night, which I know I'm triggering a lot of dudes right now who listen to this show, did anyone fucking see Wayne Newton's face on this shit?
I did because you sent it to us
he
via
shows
text
up,
message.
Actually, he shows up on horseback because as Wayne Newton does.
I like that.
And his face looks like it's stretched over a skull, but it's like really tan, so it looks like old leather. It is the most disturbing thing I've ever seen. It's like, sir, you don't need that much work
well,
on your face.
You know what? Big dick energy.
Right,
I think
seriously.
That's some real big dick energy.
Well, I feel like if you have big dick energy, you wouldn't need that much plastic surgery. But
ooh, okay.
He has crossed that point. So there's the point where it's like, man, he's had a lot of plastic surgery. And he has crossed into beyond that into the point where I'm pretty sure that's not Wayne Newton's face anymore. That's
no.
like a different human being. It's the like Renee Zellweger had that moment where she appeared and everyone's like, oh, that's not Renee Zellweger, she stole somebody's face.
It's baffling to try and understand his face. Like
yeah.
I just would pause it and just stare to try and really understand I don't think he has eyelids. It's very weird.
Did he blink? Do we have confirmation?
There is no confirmation that he blinked.
Interesting.
I just don't know what I was looking at. I'm very confused. Please.
It looks like it would be a good reference point if you were learning how to draw faces because it's completely featureless.
Yes, right. Exactly.
He looks like he should be in the Polar Express. It's very uncanny.
Yeah, it's a Final Fantasy character. Yeah, it has an uncanny valley.
It was very hard to tell if he was pleased, unpleased, if he had care for any of the men on the show. We just didn't really know who he was for, who he was against. And he would not shut up about his song, Dankeschön.
Mm-hmm. So, did he write that? I'm pretty sure that wasn't written by him, was it?
No, but he made it famous.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he just needs to remind things that the original Wayne Newton did.
Yeah,
so that
remember
people
me,
identify
Wayne Newton.
This new face with right. him.
Soren, you said something funny. He looks like he has like the mask of
Michael Myers from yeah. Halloween. Yeah, that's exactly. It looks yeah. like if you just gave him a little bit of concealer and like support, like made something that was a little too white for him, then he would look exactly like
it
that
looks
mask.
Like the least helpful police sketch ever. It's just like, so they have eyes, a nose, and a face yeah. and a mouth.
And they have straight white teeth that look like they were glued into his mouth.
When you take away all of his features, you realize how tiny of a face he actually has.
His yeah. face looks really small, yeah.
It's all right. It's centered in the middle, and there's a lot of negative space.
Yeah.
He's a canvas. He's really just a canvas.
His hairline starts about 10 inches from where his eyebrows are, and it
Is
has been worked on.
Is that a
on.
Bad number or a good number? I don't know how many inches.
You're
are.
Fine. Jack, okay. You look great. Okay. Just don't get
well,
any work done.
Wait, but is that a lot of inches from...
Just...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's yeah,
a
lot. I see.
Listen, what is a right. face but a canvas for
that's
a second
a...
face?
That is a walk.
That's great. Well, Super Producer Anna Hosnier, thank you so much for that update. She's always on the lookout for other people who are no longer wearing their faces. So if you have a new face to point out to us, you know where to find her. Soren, it's been a goddamn pleasure having you, seeing yeah. you again, just being in your midst. Where
did you say mist?
In your midst, oh. Yes. You spit a lot when you talk, and it's wildly uncomfortable. Where can people find you, follow you?
You can follow me on Twitter at Soren_LTD, or you can watch American Dad.
Okay. And is there a tweet that you particularly like or dislike that you would like to share with us?
Yeah, this one is from a woman named Samantha Ruddy. I don't know if anyone follows
her. Love her. She's great.
She's fantastic. She said, I saw a strip club across the street from a mini golf place, and I'm liberal, but that's too much for me. What if you're just trying to have a nice afternoon with your family, then your kids look across the street and have to see a bunch of losers playing mini golf?
That's good. Jamie?
Here's my favorite one of today. Ice-T tweeted about death several times before 9 a.m. today. 8:09 a.m. The cold thing about death capitalized, ..
8 a.m.
It's wow. coming regardless. You're just like, okay. And then a few seconds later, everyone is just one mistake away from prison or death, ..
Jesus.
Everyone.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ice-T.
8:04 a.m.
You know what's really fun is like, picturing him saying those things in his voice because he's got such a fun voice.
He's probably just in his trailer, like eating a breakfast bar yeah. and is like, you know what?
This is just occurring to him. And where can people find you?
You can find me on twitter.com at JamieLoftusHelp, on Instagram at Jamie Christ Superstar, or later today at the influencer mural spilling the pee-pee of influencers everywhere.
One influencer, Ben Flores, tweeted that's at Benjamin Flores. I tweeted that people with less than 20,000 followers are gross, and he wrote, I know, I write my follower count on my mirror every morning and say it out loud while I slap myself. And I think that's the way we have to get better, you guys. That was a very funny tweet. People should follow Benjamin Flores more. You can follow me at Jack_O'Brien on Twitter. You can follow us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information in the episode that we talked about today, as well as the song we ride out on. And... I guess I'm going to let super producer Anna Hosnier.
Thank you so much for having me. And I've got
so
this
brave.
Great Wayne Newton. Just joking. No, I would never. I do have a song. It's by Erykah Badu. It's called The Healer. It's a classic. I feel like we all need some healing after Wayne Newton's face. And just kidding. The news is terrible.
I've noticed that your recommendations have had a lot of women. And I just... Why can't we listen to some music by, like, Erykah Badu?
I swear to God. I said if you made that joke.
Feminist icon, Jack O'Brien.
Yeah. Make way for the men.
So, yeah, enjoy that song. I have to go call my therapist.
All right, we're going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. Talk to you guys then. Bye.
It's bigger.